Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Now, for today's deep dive, I want you to just imagine your genetic code as this sprawling, epic novel, like 3 billion letters long.
Right, a very, very long book.
Exactly. And usually when we talk about genetic mutations, we are talking about a single typo in that massive novel, you know, an A instead of a T. We call those single nucleotide variants, or SNV.
Yeah, the tiny changes.
Right, but what we are looking at today is a whole different beast entirely. We are talking about structural variants. So if an SNV is a single typo, a structural variant is like someone tearing out an entire chapter of your genetic novel, reading it backward, and then just gluing it into completely the wrong section of the book.
Which is quite the visual.
It's a massive, chaotic rearrangement of your DNA, and it happens far more often than you might think. So the really big question we are exploring today is, how can mapping these massive chaotic changes alter how we diagnose mysterious diseases?
Today we celebrate the work of the Genome Aggregation Database, or GNOME-AD Consortium, who have advanced our understanding of structural variation across diverse global populations.
Okay, let's unpack this. If structural variants are so massive and, you know, impactful, why didn't we map them thoroughly before we mapped the tiny SNVs? Like, is it simply a technology problem? Because, I mean, tearing out a whole chapter seems a lot easier to spot than a single typo.
You would naturally assume that a bigger physical change is just easier to spot, but it is actually the exact opposite when it comes to genomic sequencing.
Wait, really? The bigger change is harder to see?
Yeah, exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture of how sequencing actually works, the technical hurdle becomes pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
For years, science has built these incredibly detailed, robust population maps for those small genetic typos.
Right, like EXACI and things like that.
Exactly. Resources like EXACI and the early versions of GNOME. But there was no equivalent reference map for structural variants derived from high-coverage whole genome sequencing. You see, to read DNA, our technology physically cannot just scan all 3 billion letters from start to finish like reading a page.
It's not just a straight read through.
No, not at all. We have to use chemicals or sound waves to chop the genome into tiny fragments, usually about 150 letters long.
Oh, wow, that's tiny.
Right. Machines read those short fragments, and then we rely on computers to stitch them back together based on a reference sequence.
Wait, so we are physically shredding the DNA first? So trying to read short read sequencing is, it's less like reading a book and more like trying to reconstruct a novel after putting it through a paper shredder.
That captures the spirit of the problem perfectly, yeah.
So if you are looking for a single typo on one of those shreds, you can spot it easily enough. But if whole chapters are moved around...
Exactly. If you shred a document where an entire paragraph has been, say, duplicated or inverted, looking at a single isolated shred just won't tell you the wider context.
That makes so much sense.
Historically, we had maps like the 1000 Genomes Project, which was a monumental achievement for its time, truly. But it only used about 7x sequencing coverage.
Meaning what, exactly?
That means the genome was read, on average, 7 times over.
Wait, if you read the whole genome 7 times, shouldn't you catch those massive structural changes? I mean, 7 times sounds like a lot.
It sounds like plenty, sure. But think about it mathematically as random sampling. When you randomly chop up the genome and read it 7 times, the distribution of those reads isn't perfectly even.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, some areas might get read 10 times, while other areas might only get read once or maybe twice.
It's patchy.
Exactly. So if a complex structural breakpoint, the exact spot where the DNA was severed and glued back together, if that happens to fall in an area with only 1 or 2 overlapping shreds, the computer algorithm will just assume it's a machine error and discard it.
So it just throws out the most important piece of the puzzle.
Precisely. To confidently detect hidden structural variations, a high-coverage map, meaning reading the genome 30 or more times over, was just desperately needed.
And clinically speaking, having that high-coverage map is critical for the listener, right?
Absolutely.
Like if someone listening or their child goes to a clinic with a mysterious illness, the doctors need a reference. If they sequence your DNA and find a torn-out chapter, they need a baseline map to tell them if that missing chapter is the actual cause of the disease or if it is just, you know, a normal variation that lots of healthy people walk around with every day.
That is the fundamental takeaway here. Without a high-coverage, diverse baseline map of what is normal across the human species, clinicians are essentially flying blind.
Yeah, completely in the dark.
Exactly. Which raises an important question. How do we build a map that is accurate and representative enough to be used in clinics worldwide? Well, The NOMID team took this on by dramatically scaling up the data. They took whole genome sequencing data from 14,891 individuals, and they sequenced them at an average of 32x coverage.
I have to challenge that number a bit, actually. Is 32x coverage really the magic bullet? Like, is it actually enough to confidently map complex structural variants, or is it just, well, better than 7x?
No, it is a critical threshold.
Yeah.
At 32x coverage, the statistical probability of having enough overlapping reads across a complex breakpoint becomes incredibly robust.
So it's not just a guess anymore.
Right. It shifts the math from guessing to knowing. But what's really fascinating here is not just the depth, but the diversity of the cohort. 54% of the genomes were non-European, including African, African-American, Latino, and East Asian populations.
Which feels so crucial because historically, genetic databases have been heavily, heavily skewed toward European ancestry.
They have been, yeah, which creates these massive blind spots in global healthcare. The human population is incredibly diverse, and different populations carry different structural variants based on their unique demographic histories. For instance, this study confirmed that African populations exhibited the greatest genetic diversity in structural variants.
Oh, interesting.
And this aligns perfectly with human evolutionary history. Since humanity originated in Africa, populations that stayed there have had far more time to accumulate diverse genetic variations.
Right, whereas populations that migrated out of Africa went through genetic bottlenecks.
Exactly.
So gathering this incredibly diverse, massive pile of data was step one, but they still had to actually find the hidden structural variants in those billions of shredded DNA fragments.
And finding them was a massive computational challenge. They couldn't just use one simple search tool and call it a day.
I imagine not.
They developed this incredible cloud-based multi-algorithm pipeline. To detect canonical and complex structural variants, they integrated four orthogonal evidence types.
Hold on, orthogonal evidence. In plain English, you mean they used completely independent methods that don't share the same blind spots, right?
That is a very solid translation, yes. If two algorithms use the exact same logic and make the same mistake, you don't actually have verification. You just have repeated errors.
Makes sense. So what were they actually looking for?
They looked at four distinct physical signatures in the shredded DNA. For example, they looked at read depth. If suddenly you have half as many DNA shreds mapping to a specific gene, it strongly implies a chunk of that gene was deleted.
Got it.
They also looked for discordant red pairs, where the two ends of a single DNA fragment map to completely different chromosomes, which proves a massive rearrangement occurred.
So, to make sure I am grasping this multi-algorithm pipeline, it is kind of like hiring four different types of editors for a book. Like a spell checker, a grammar expert, a fact checker, and a structural editor to ensure every single complex rearrangement is caught.
That's a great analogy.
So if one editor misses a weirdly glued in page, the structural editor will catch the page numbers being out of order.
I really like that framing. By combining those different editors, the algorithm could confidently call variants ranging from a simple deleted sequence to wildly complex multi-chromosome rearrangements.
That's incredible.
And the researchers didn't just trust the computer's output blindly either. They rigorously validated the data. They used 970 parent-child trios to prove Mendelian inheritance.
Meaning they checked to see if these massive DNA changes were actually being passed down from parent to child through basic genetics, rather than just being glitches in the computer software.
You're following the logic perfectly. If a structural variant is real, you should see it in the parent and the child.
Right.
If it only appears in the child but not the parents, well, it needs to be heavily scrutinized to see if it's a spontaneous new mutation or just a technical artifact.
A machine hiccup.
Exactly. Mm. And they also went a step further and used emerging long-read sequencing technology on a subset of samples to physically confirm the complex breakpoints.
Wow, they really threw the kitchen sink at this to make sure the math held up. And when they finally cataloged everything, the raw numbers they found were wild.
The volume of variation is staggering. In total, they discovered 433,371 structural variants across the population.
That is a huge number.
But if we break that down to the individual level, the median genome contains 7,439 structural variants.
Wait. If you are listening to this right now on your commute or while washing the dishes, you personally have over 7,000 of these massive genetic rearrangements inside your cells at this very moment.
Yes, you do.
How is that even possible without us noticing?
Well, it comes down to where those variants land. Many of them are small, or they fall into the vast stretches of our genome that don't immediately disrupt essential functions.
Like the non-coding regions.
Right. However, a significant portion of them do cause structural damage. This study revealed that structural variants are responsible for 25 to 29% of all rare protein truncating events per genome.
Wait, let me make sure I understand. A protein truncating event, does that basically mean a gene gets physically broken, its reading frame is interrupted, and it can no longer produce its essential protein?
That is the practical outcome, yes. The gene's instructions are cut short. And the revelation here is that roughly a quarter of the time a gene is broken in a rare way, it is due to a massive structural variant, not just a single tiny typo.
Oh, wow.
It highlights an immense blind spot we've had in routine clinical sequencing. Furthermore, because of the scale of this data, they managed to calculate a highly accurate mutation rate. They estimate roughly 0.29 de novo structural variants per generation.
Translated into real-world terms, that means there is about one completely new, never-before-seen structural variant appearing every 2 to 8 live births.
Yes.
Evolution is constantly tinkering with the architecture of our genome in real time. But wait, if 1 in 8 babies has a brand new torn-out chapter, why aren't we seeing massive evolutionary crashes constantly? Is something weeding these harmful variants out?
Weeding them out is exactly what natural selection does. To understand the evolutionary constraints acting on these massive changes, the researchers developed a metric called the adjusted proportion of singletons, or APS.
APS, got it.
In population genetics, a singleton is a variant that is only seen once in a massive population. If a mutation is extremely rare, it strongly implies that natural selection is actively working against it. Like, it is so harmful that the individuals carrying it are less likely to pass it down through generations.
But how do you actually adjust for size? If the deletion is 100,000 letters long, isn't it mathematically guaranteed to be rarer just because it's physically larger and more likely to hit something important?
That's a very sharp observation.
How does the APS metric mathematically isolate the true signal of evolution from the noise of just how big the variant is?
You've hit on the core statistical challenge there.
Yeah.
The APS metric ingeniously builds a mathematical model that groups variants by their physical size and their specific class, like whether it's a deletion or an insertion. It calculates the expected number of singletons for a neutral variant of that exact size, and then compares it to the actual observed number of singletons.
Oh, that's clever.
By doing this, researchers can compare apples to apples, stripping away the physical bulk of the variant to see the pure force of natural selection acting upon it.
Okay, so once they isolated that signal, what did they actually find?
They found intense natural selection against structural variants that disrupt protein-coding genes, which is exactly what you would hypothesize. If you delete an essential gear in the cellular machinery, evolution pushes back hard.
Makes sense.
But they also uncovered modest selection against non-coding structural variants in cis-regulatory elements.
Hold on, cis-regulatory elements. Are you talking about the DNA that doesn't actually build the protein itself, but acts more like a volume knob, controlling when and how much of a protein gets made? Things like enhancers and promoters.
That is a fantastic way to visualize it. Yes, these regions don't build the engine, they control the throttle. The APS metric proves that our regulatory architecture is also closely guarded by evolution. If a structural variant deletes a volume knob, it can be just as detrimental as deleting the gene itself.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because while evolution is a strict bouncer, it apparently also lets some truly mind-bending exceptions slip through the door.
It really does.
The data showed that 3.8% of people carry very large, rare structural variants, and there was one specific case in the supplementary data that literally stopped me in my tracks.
Yes, the chromothripsis case.
Exactly. They found one perfectly healthy adult whose DNA showed localized chromosome shattering, a phenomenon called chromothripsis. We are talking about 49 distinct breakpoints scattered across 7 different chromosomes. How can someone with a shattered chromosome walk around perfectly healthy? Doesn't that challenge our basic assumptions about genetic damage?
It forces a complete rethink of genomic resilience, right. Honestly. Normally, when we hear the term chromothripsis in a clinical setting, we associate it with severe congenital diseases or aggressive chaotic cancers.
Right, it sounds fatal.
It is literally the shattering and random restitching of a chromosome.
Yeah.
But in this individual's case, the restitching happened in such a perfectly balanced way that no critical genetic information was lost or duplicated.
It is like dropping a priceless vase, sweeping up the dust, gluing it together blindly, and it somehow still perfectly holds water.
It is baffling. The fact that an individual can harbor such profound structural chaos and remain phenotypically normal, meaning they show absolutely no outward signs of disease, tells us that the 3D spatial organization of the genome is far more flexible than we ever gave it credit for.
That's wild.
The chapters were ripped out and shredded, but they were taped back together so flawlessly that the cellular machinery could still read the story.
But if we connect this to the everyday reality of clinical medicine, not everyone is so lucky. While we find astonishing examples of healthy resilience, we also find the variants that cause real devastating harm.
We certainly do. The study estimated that 0.13% of individuals carry a structural variant that meets existing criteria for clinically important incidental findings.
So to put that in perspective, out of every 10,000 people listening, about 13 are walking around with a massive genetic change that doctors would consider medically actionable right now if they only knew it was there.
That is the reality.
Yeah.
And having this vast map allows researchers to finally link previously unknown structural variants to specific diseases. Because they map these structural variants alongside the common single nucleotide variants we already know about, they could use a concept called linkage disequilibrium.
I'm going to need an analogy for linkage disequilibrium.
Let's try this. Imagine you are reviewing thousands of copies of a printed book. You notice that every single time there is a coffee stain on page 42, an entire paragraph is missing from page 45. They always happen together. After a while, if you see the coffee stain, you don't even need to check page 45. You already know the paragraph is gone. In genetics, the coffee stain is a known, easily detectable, small typo in SNV. The missing paragraph is the massive hidden structural variant.
I see. So because we already have maps of the coffee stains, this new map allows us to link those stains to the really dangerous missing paragraphs.
You've got it. Using this method, they pinpointed a specific deletion in a thyroid enhancer located near a gene called ATP6V0D1 that is strongly linked to hypothyroidism.
Wow.
They couldn't see the missing volume knob before, but by combining the old SNV maps with this new high-resolution structural map, the biological mechanism for the disease suddenly came into focus. However, the researchers are very clear about the limitations of this current map.
Right, because short-read sequencing, no matter how good the algorithms are, still has physical limitations.
It does. It struggles intensely with highly repetitive regions of the genome. Our DNA is full of sections where the same few letters repeat over and over again for thousands of bases.
Like trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle where 1,000 pieces are just identical patches of blue sky, you have no idea where they go.
That is the exact problem. The short DNA shreds get lost in seas of repetitive sequence. So the authors note that while this map is a massive leap forward, short read sequencing still misses some repeat-mediated structural variants.
So what's the solution?
They point toward the broader adoption of long read sequencing technologies, machines that can read continuous strands of DNA tens of thousands of letters long, looking at the whole puzzle piece instead of a tiny fragment, as the necessary next step to fill in these remaining blind spots.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this right down to the ground for you, the listener. If you or a family member ever faced diagnostic screening for an unexplained developmental disorder, a terrifying situation where a doctor knows something is wrong but standard tests aren't catching it, this exact structural variation map is the new baseline. When they sequence your genome and find a massive chunk of DNA missing, they won't have to guess. They will look at the NOMAD structural variant map to figure out what is natural human diversity and what is the specific anomaly causing the illness. It takes us out of the dark ages of guessing.
To summarize the profound shift this represents, structural variants are a massive, previously undermapped source of human genetic diversity and disease. By mapping them at high resolution across diverse populations, we've proven they are subject to the same strict evolutionary constraints as smaller mutations, fundamentally upgrading our genomic reference manuals. What does this mean for the future of personalized medicine when a quarter of all significant gene-disrupting mutations have been hiding in plain sight?
It is a question that changes the whole landscape of how we view our health and our history. And I'll leave you with this one final thought to mull over. If perfectly healthy people can exist with completely shattered and reassembled chromosomes, what other impossible genetic architectures might we discover as we finally start stringing together those long-read sequences for the next million genomes?
It's an exciting time for genomics.
This episode was based on an open-access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science bass by bass. To do.